Let me just go over for a minute where we're holding. We're learning something really from the teachings of Rav Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Again, with a little bit of, I hope, a fair interpretation of his teachings. We're talking about, we're applying some of the ideas that we've been talking about for the year, and how they fit into the general motif of Shemoneh Esrei. Shemoneh Esrei, our davening. So basically what we were talking about last week is that the three first brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, are an expression of the most basic motifs of Tefillah Bechlal. The most basic expression of Tefillah in general. The first bracha, after we get over the initial fear, of just approaching Hashem with Hashem's Svasaitiv Tach, Hashem, I'm so frightened to even open my lips. We spoke about this last week, that Tefillah is not something we should take for granted. It's an astounding privilege that we have. Karav Hashem, L'chol karav l'chol Hashem yikru'u be'emes, that Hashem is close to all those who call to Him in truth. That's an amazing privilege that we have. It doesn't have to do with Yom Hadraga. That's what that pasuk says. Karav Hashem l'chol karav, you know, we say this so many times in our lives, sometimes we forget what it really means, that Hashem is close to all who call to Him in truth. Doesn't say you have to be a Moshe Feinstein, you don't have to be a Baba Rebbe, you don't look, call a Sheikh Ubam, he says, you're honest, and you call to Him, Karav Hashem l'chol karav. So because we tend to forget that, and because of the natural tendency that we have to be down on ourselves, to have a negative way of seeing ourselves, we are frightened to come to Him. So the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei calms us down. The first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, he said, has in it two things. It's the bracha that's filled with chesed. It's filled with Hashem's love and Hashem's kindness. It's the bracha of Avraham Avinu. Everybody loves Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu we're not afraid of. Yitzchak, we're afraid of. Avraham Avinu we're not afraid of at all. Avraham Avinu says, come. It's okay. Come daven. You could speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I did. No one taught me how. My parents were not very religious. I mean, they were religious idol worshippers. They weren't religious believers in God. They weren't believers in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I was able to speak to Him. And how? Because I looked at the world and I sensed that there's something special. And I began to think. And I felt the closeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you know what? I was right. And He spoke to me. So the first bracha is the bracha of Elokei Avraham. And when you say the bracha of Elokei Avraham, you feel to some degree propelled further. You're able to move ahead because the Elokei Avraham, the God of Avraham, is a God of chesed, filled with chesed, and He's mishtatev in your tzar. The God of Avraham He's with you in your tzar, in your problems. He's there with you in your anguish and so on. So that's the Elokei Avraham. You feel that for sure, He's going to answer you. Skabel bi'ahavel b'ratzen. The first bracha is a bracha filled with ahava and ratzen, with love and with willingness to hear you and an attachment and a closeness. Kirvas Elokim litov. The overall feeling was described by David HaMelech of the first bracha. Kirvas Elokim, closeness to Hashem litov. It doesn't just mean it's good for me. It means it's the definition of goodness that I can... It is the defining goodness of my life. Kirves Elokim Litov. And the first bracha, because we mentioned the others, we are basing our chutzpah to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only because of our belief that Hashem loves us and He's interested in us, but also we have, as I mentioned last week, historical precedent. So we're the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. We're their children. Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu. Some of us go in the way of Avraham, more connected to the way of Avraham. So it's Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. But we are their children. Mimela, we have a schus. We have a schus to also come to you. We have a schus to daven to you also. We spoke about the historical precedent of Karbonis, which we'll talk about again in a few moments. That's the first bracha. It's an overall pleasant and cozy and nice feeling. And then you come to the bracha of Gvuros. The second bracha of Gvuros, which is the bracha of Yitzchak Avinu Befrat, which is specifically the bracha of Yitzchak Avinu. And the bracha of Gevuras is already a different motif. Here the person, after feeling so comfortable and warm with his father, suddenly he realizes that there's this other aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he's a king. Now, Mimela, when standing in the presence of the king, the person is filled with the most profound feeling of emptiness, of not meeting up to the expectations of the king. You know, there's the famous story, it's already printed in most of the Machzorim, in the Sfadish Machzorim, the story that the Rebbe, Rabbi Aaron from Kalin, when he got up to say HaMelech on Rosh Hashanah, he davened for the Yom, Rabbi Aaron Kalin used to daven all the tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah Kippur. Shachar, Mincha, Musaf, Ne'ila, all the tefillahs, Kol Nidre, Marv, all the tefillahs. So when the Rabbi Aaron Kalin used to get up, Rabbi Aaron HaGadol, Kalin used to say HaMelech, so they said that when he got up to say HaMelech, he passed out. He fainted. And they ran over and they brought him to. And Rabbi Aaron Kalin said, he was thinking of the Gemara in Gittin, that some of you I'm sure are familiar with from Tisha B'Av, the story of how when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was smuggled out of Yerushalayim. He was smuggled out of Yerushalayim, and then he met the person who at that time was not yet the king. He was a governor, a general, but Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai greeted him as a king. And the general asked him, the Roman governor there asked him, if I am a king, where have you been until now? How come you haven't served me as a king until now? So that's what Rabbi HaGadol said he was thinking of when he said, HaMelech. He said, if you really believe that I'm the king, where have you been until now? You know, why haven't you come to me until now? How come you haven't served me? Mazel tov, you know. I'm sorry I couldn't come. Next one. Mr. Shambhai. So the feeling in the second bracha is a feeling of gvuris. Gvuris is always a little bit, take it easy. Don't get so comfortable. Don't get so comfortable. We're learning in the Chassidus class on Monday night the union of how the tzaddik has to know how to speak to two types of Jews. There are those Jews who are called Dari Mala. Right? Some of you here, and Monday night, the Jews are called Dari Mala, the ones who dwell above. People are in a high madrega. People are learning, davening, serving. Strong Jews. They're called the ones who dwell above. Then there are Jews who are having a real hard time. They're called Dari Mata, the ones who dwell below. So we're talking about Monday night chassidus. So the tzaddik, Rabbi Nachum says, has to know how to speak to the Dari Mala and to the Dari Mata. There are different ways to talk. To the Dari Mala, to those who dwell above and are feeling very strong and close, they're davening and they're learning, so the tzaddik has to come and tell them, you think you know so much, your mamash haven't begun to serve God, you don't know the beginning of serving God. Moshe Rabbeinu was the closest person in the world to Hashem, and Hashem told him, Lo yirani Adam v'chai, you've never seen me, you don't know me at all. But to the Dari Mata, to those, because this way, the Dari Mala, you know, you have to keep on growing. The person sometimes feels a little bit satisfied and he stops growing. So to the Dari Mata, to those who dwell below, the tzaddik tells them, who are those who dwell below? We're very familiar with such people. Those who dwell below are people who feel that they're so far, they might have no shaykhs, and that because of the things that they've done wrong, and the aveiros, and the tzoros, so they don't have a shaykhs, they're not so strong in learning, not in davening, in mitzvahs. So the Dari Mata feel completely empty of God. So the tzaddik has to go to the Dari Mata, to those who dwell below, and say, Maloi chala aris kavod, the world is filled with his glory. His mamash is here with you every second. What are you talking about? He's with you every second. So the Dari Mali tells him, Hashem's not here in this place. I mean, he exists, but you think you have him over here? And to those who dwell below, he has to tell them, Hashem, his mamash is here every second with you. He loves you. He's so close to you. Yishai HaNavi, who was much, much on a much lower level, than, of course, than Moshe Rabbeinu. Yishai HaNavi was Moshe Rabbeinu. To Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem says, you haven't seen me, you don't know me. And to Yishai HaNavi says, Ve'eres Hashem, I have seen Hashem. Hashem made him feel that he saw him. He could say, Ve'eres Hashem. The second bracha of Gevuras is a little bit of a push away. A little bit of the left hand of Hashem. After the bracha of Magen Avraham, of Chesed, is the right arm drawing a snare. The bracha al gvuris is the left arm pushing us a little bit away and reminding us that we're mamish empty. We're totally empty. We don't have the schus, we don't have the right or the privilege to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the only schus that we have is chesed chinam, chasdei Hashem. If not for Hashem's pure and total chesed, I wouldn't have the right to come near him. I mamish couldn't do a thing without him. I'm totally helpless without him. That's how this week's parasha starts. Parashas Bahar. So everybody knows that it says that Hashem Vaidavash Amresh Bahar Sinai Laim, and it goes on to tell the laws of Shemitah, the laws of the seventh year. So what's the famous question of Rashi that's already become part of the Jewish vernacular? Ma Shemitah, Ma Inyan Shemitah Litzal Har Sinai. What does it say? Hashem told Moshe ben Har Sinai, and then it goes on to Shemitah. What's up to the whole Torah is from Har Sinai, right? What's up is Shemitah, the seventh year? Why is it said? So Rashi says to teach us that just like the Shemitah was given in Har Sinai, just like the laws of Shemitah were given in Har Sinai, so too all the mitzvahs, the Tukera, Pratasea, all the details of all the mitzvahs are given in Har Sinai. So everyone knows that Rashi wasn't giving us an entire answer, because the question still remains. What's the question? Why was this teaching davka revealed by Shemitah? Still the question. I mean, Rashi's telling us in the beginning of the parasha, why does it say, Vaidar Hashem Moshe Bahar Sinai? Hashem spoke to Moshe on Har Sinai, and it goes on to the laws of the seventh year. All the laws were taught on Har Sinai. So Taka Rashi says, to teach you that all the laws were taught on Sinai, just like Shemitah was taught on Sinai the seventh year, all the details, Tzitzis and Tzitzis and Tzitzis, it was all taught on Sinai. So you have to feel a little bit cheated, no? So then why did Hashem reveal this davka by Shemitah? How come it didn't say by Tzvilin, Vaidar Hashem Moshe Bahar Sinai, Vos Elohim, you know, at Sittus or Tfilin or whatever Shabbos, was Davka by Shemitah? So Rebbe Leiga said, that Sinai means to receive. Sinai means to receive. Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. Whenever we speak about somebody receiving from one above him, it's called Misinai, from Sinai. Sinai is the one that is above you. Sinai means that there's a desire on Hashem's part to give. Hashem is the Mashpia, Hashem's Baruch Hu gives. Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. So to receive means Misinai. So the first thing is that a person has to know that everything that he has in life he's receiving from above. Misinai. Whatever you have is from above. And why is it called Har Sinai? Why is it called Har Sinai? Because when a person sees the goodness that he has in life, when a person sees what Hashem does for him, even when a person sees that he's able to perform a mitzvah, he has to know that it's something that by nature is way above him. It's like a mountain that's above him. It's beyond his power. Like it says that at the end of their lives, Hashem shows the tzaddikim their whole lives, and they see that it was like a mountain, right? And they can't believe that they did it. And they realize then that they never could have gotten over that mountain without Hashem's help. So what Rabbi Leib Leiga says is that the Torah is coming to reveal to us that whenever you're doing a mitzvah, you should know anything in life that you have, physical things, even spiritual things, even mitzvahs, it's because of Har Sinai. It means you're receiving help from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you should know that on your own, this was a mountain that you never could have climbed on your own. You never would have gotten it. So what does that have to do with Shemitah? Because what does Shemitah tell you? The seventh year tells you, well, that's what it is, right? The seventh year tells you that even in Baruch Hu, and you should know that on your own, this was a mountain that you never could have climbed on your own. You never would have gotten it. So what does that have to do with Shemitah? Because what does Shemitah tell you? The seventh year tells you that you have nothing without the master of the world. That's what it is, right? The seventh year tells you that you can't eat a crumb. You can't pick a fruit. The world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's work. He's the master of the world, and there's not a hand can be lifted without his help. So that's what Rashi means when he says that the same way that all the mitzvahs, the same way that Shemitah is from Har Sinai, all the mitzvahs are from Har Sinai. The same way that Shemitah brings out the most profound way, our absolute and complete and total emptiness without Hashem and dependence upon him, so too, all mitzvahs were given in this way, Har Sinai. We received it from Hashem from above, and on our own, it was a mountain that we never ever could have climbed such a thing on our own without Hashem helping us. So in the second bracha of Gevuras, the overwhelming feeling is Har Sinai. Ata Gibel El Hashem. Chazdei Hashem. Mechayim Esim Rachmim Rabim. We're not worthy. Rachmim means we're not worthy. You have compassion, but we're not worthy. You see, in the first bracha, it's a bracha of chesed, but it's the kind of a chesed where, like the Rebbe tells you, oh, you're the best, you're so wonderful, your parent tells you you're the best, and you believe it, you know. In the first bracha, you believe it. You're the best. Now you're feeling a little bit good. In the second bracha, you begin to wonder if that's true, by Gvuris. And Hashem tells you, the emes is, anything that you have is berachmim rabim. It's with great compassion. It's not really because you're worthy. It's not because you're worthy. It's not because you're worthy. So the second bracha, a person feels very weak and feels a little bit frightened. Hashem, you're the gibor, I'm not the gibor. You're the powerful one, I am not the powerful one. So the second bracha is a feeling of bittul, of annihilation, of the disappearance of self. The disappearance of self. The first bracha, you feel that you're meeting, you're encountering Hashem. And the second bracha, you feel that you're retreating from His presence. And the third bracha, which we just began talking about a little bit at the end last week, the third bracha of Ata Kadosh, and this is an overall mood that a person should try to work on having. The third bracha of Ata Kadosh addresses both sides. Both. Remember that Ata Kadosh is the ticket into Shemoneh Esrei, really. The first three brachas, as you know, are our means of approaching Him. Our actual time that we spend begging and asking and expressing our needs, that's beginning with Ata Chayneh, that's the middle brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. So, when we finish the first two brachas, there's this confusion. I want to go to Him, I feel comfortable, I feel as a child, and I'm running to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the other hand, I retreat in terror, and I feel worthless, and I don't know what to do. So whenever you have a thesis, an antithesis, so what do you have to do? You have to try to come to a synthesis, right? To try to find a resolution to these two. So Ata Kadosh must be the resolution. Bechlal, you know that in the writings of the Maharal, the number three is always a resolution. That's why the Torah was given to the people of three in the third month, and it has three parts, Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, and so on. The number three always means resolution. Two always means Machlokas. Three always means resolution. That's why the third day is Toiv, double. Two is created, Machlokas was created on the second day. Two means, Ashi Yavah, Kosav, Ashishiv, Achiriyah, B'nehem. Two means machloikis, and three means the one who comes to resolve a disagreement. That's the number three. Three is always a way to resolve a machloikis. That's what the Maharal says, that the number two points can go on, two points never have a way of coming together. They just go. But when you have a third point, there's a way that the two points can meet. So number three is always the Jewish people are called an amat lisoi, a people of three. Kahan Levim Yisrael, Tar Nevim Suvim, and so on. Three is always a resolution. So the third bracha is coming to somehow resolve this paradox of the first bracha of running and the second bracha of retreating. And the third bracha is very mysterious. We began to talk about Korbanos last week. The third bracha is the bracha of Kedusha. Ata Kadosh v'Shimcha Kadosh Kedoshim v'chol yom yaluch asal l'brocha to Hashem ha'kel ha'kadosh. So, I mean, to go into the whole discussion of Kedusha, which is a huge subject, very, very, very much misunderstood. People think of Kedusha, they think of running away from the world. Like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai when he was in the cave. And Hashem Yisbarach taught him that you're not supposed to run away from the world, you're supposed to fix the world. Right? You're supposed to correct things, you're supposed to repair things. Kedusha is repair. Anyway, the third bracha is the bracha of Kedusha. Ata Kodesh v'Shimcha Kodesh v'Kedoshim v'chol yoyim l'halucha selam. So, the third bracha is the bracha of Kiddush Hashem. So you have to understand that the bracha says, Hashem, you're holy, your name is holy, and those who are holy praise you every day. So on the one hand, it's saying, Hashem, you're holy. The holiness of Hashem is something which frightens us. We don't understand, we move back. But the conclusion is, but those who are holy, I told you that there, you could understand as being angels, but the Pashup Shabbat is talking about Yidden, Jews, that the Jewish people are Kiddushim. Ukadoshim, those who are holy, Yaluchas Sela. That's the resolution. When we begin the bracha of Atah Kodesh V'Shimcha, you are holy, your name is holy. So it sounds like we're closing up and walking away. Forget it, you win. We're afraid. But then we turn around and we say, Ukadoshim, we're able to point at ourselves for the first time and say, we're also Kadoshim. And we, therefore, we have the right, we want to praise, we want to talk to you. We're also Kadosh. So something happened in this bracha, which is a very short little bracha, something happened to really, not just to restore our confidence, but to create a real confidence. Afal pichein. I'm empty, I'm taka worthless, I'm nothing. Afal pichein. Nevertheless, Afal pichein, I'm Kadosh, I'm holy. So we have to understand, what is the nature of this Kedusha? What does this mean? If you're saying that you're empty and you're worthless, so what do you mean you're Kaddish? In this case, Kaddish, Kedusha. By the Goyim Lahavdil, there was a man, I don't want to mention the name, it's an impure name. There was a philosopher that wrote a book called Das Heilige. A book in German about there's a great thinker, a book about holiness that is so unbelievably beautiful, it's so poetic and it's so false, but because it's so poetic you mamish could fall for it. The whole Goyish view of Das Heilige, of what's holy, is that which is removed and separate and distant. That's why by them they're holy ones are not supposed to mix with society. Can you do as it's known? How they live? How they're supposed to live? How they live, Lamaise, is a different thing. How they're supposed to live? What's supposed to be? Or else we don't have such a thing. There is such a concept by a Nozer, but everybody knows it by that a Nozer's taka has to bring a carbon chattis. I don't get to the only of Nazirus. A Nozer, this is not the ideal way of serving Hashem, as everybody knows, Nazirus. It's not the ideal way. It's a bedavid. It's not the ideal way. The Kotzik used to say, it says in the Pasuk, Mishpatam Anshe Kodesh Tiyun Li. Be men of holiness. And the Kosovo said that, you hear what Hashem says, not angels. He wants it to be humans that are holy. Not malachim. He has enough malachim. He doesn't need any more. Anshei Kodesh. So what does that mean? By the Goyim, where holiness means that there are two Rishuyos. The Goyim look at the world as two Rishuyos. They really never got over the ancient belief in Gnosticism, which you know, the two gods. They never got over it. It's entered into a more sublime stage. They never got over their belief in two gods. No, they always believe the God of good and God of evil. They never got over it. As everybody knows, that in Christianity, there's a huge, huge influence of Gnosticism, of ancient religion, of paganism, with a mixture of Havdal of Yiddishkeit. They never got over it, because they look at the world, there's, how do they say, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's? What does that mean? There's Rome. What it means is that there are two Rishuyas. There is the religious time of the week, that's Sunday, whenever it is, whenever that particular denomination tells them to go to the Avodah Zarah. There's the religious person, and then there's the secular person. So holiness means to that time of the day, that I'm not secular, that time of the day, that I'm not defiling myself. That's the holy time of the day. And then there are holy people. And they put more hours into their separation. They like to have more hours of separation. But the Goyim never ever saw holiness as a day-to-day struggle. They never saw the connection between holiness and eating and living and working. By them, there's no such thing. It's mamish, no such thing. It doesn't exist. Yeah, honest and decent and moral, sure. But holiness? Holiness is for the monastery and the convent. Holiness is on a mountain somewhere. Holiness is not in your little world with your difficulties and problems. The Turk, the Nevi'im was screaming. The Nevi'im, the whole scream of the Nevi'im was. The Nevi'im was saying all the time, Yidden, what are you dividing your lives into? You come to the Beis HaMikdash. You feel so tzufin, you bring a couple of good fat korbanos, right? And you come to the Beis HaMikdash, and you throw yourself into Kedusha, and you could stand there and scream and cry and daven and with the korbanos and throwing blood and spritzing here and there. But then when you're going back home, you're not treating widows properly. You're not giving tzedakah. You're not doing tshuva. The whole Indian of Nevuah was an outcry against this way of looking at life as being divided into two rishuyas. What the Nevi'im was saying is that the avoda of a Jew is not just Nebes HaMikdash. The avoda of a person, of a Jew, is to bring Kedusha Mamish into life. The tzaddikim talk about this bechlal, and you see an interesting thing. Why do Bereshit want people to get married, no? It's a funny thing. I'm talking about even people that are happily married. It's not such a kash, but people unhappily married is not such a kash. But even people happily married, why is the Bereshit want, why the whole Indian of marriage is a modern thing? Why do you have to get married? When a person is not married, if a person is not married, then why don't you get sit all day and focus on ruchnius? You know how many problems I have with discussions with Bali Tshuva, especially with Bali Tshuva, who came to Yiddishkeit seeking deep spirituality. So the women are ending up with somebody pulling at their robe all day. And the men are ending up at some job and trying to catch out a half hour in yeshiva at night somehow, and they're too tired, and the mitzvahs seem to lack in spirit and feeling and so on. So before a person's married, Lamaise, if a person wouldn't be married, there's more time and there's much more potential to develop spiritually. Marriage, for many people, marriage is puts a lid on that. I have a chassidish friend of mine, he's a very big Talmud Chacham, he has an interesting sense of humor. So he told me that this person never spoke to a girl in his life, you understand? It's a mamish from the old style. So I was asking him, after he was married, we were very good friends, he's a big Talmud Chacham, I was talking to him about it. Weren't you uncomfortable? I mean, how do you do that? He's not even allowed to talk to his cousins, you understand? And then you're in the house, there's somebody. So I asked him, so he said to me, Chaim Moshe, it's the first thing I told my wife. I came back from shul the day after we married. I walk into the house and I see she's standing there with a siddur. What are you davened? An hour she's davening? I told her, you put that siddur down. You put that siddur down. You forget about it. You're married now. There's a new life. There's no more of that stuff. Now, if you're lucky, he was exaggerating. If you're lucky, she's a very chashuva person. You can help a little bit at the kaddish, and then you have to fill a bottle, and at the chayne, and then you have to change a diaper. So what's the whole Indian? What's the Kadosh Baruch Hu made in such a way that why should it be in such a way? I mean, if the tachlis of this world is to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu, then it should have been. That it should have been, that we should have been left in a way where a person could develop. Rechaim al Tzavari, Asa B'Torah, the Gemara says, how could a person be Isaac in Torah? There was tzaddikim that didn't want to get married because of this. Ben Azai didn't want to get married. He says, Nafshi Chashka B'Torah. Ben Azai says, my soul thirsts for Torah. I don't want to get married. I want to learn. So the answer to that, that the tzaddikim, the Baal Tanya talks about, is that we're created in God's image, and God also gets married. God also gets married. He's also a chassan. Chassan pshat. Had God decided that he wanted to remain aloof and to be with himself in total and absolute oneness and spirituality and clarity, there was no need to create the world. The fact is that the very creation of the world is such an extraordinary descent on the part of Hashem. It's an unbelievable descent. Akash Baruch Hu descended into the physical matter to create a physical world. It's such an unbelievable descent. So just like Akash Baruch Hu, in order to lift up the whole physical world, to reveal his presence even in every little rock and every flower, so Akash Baruch Hu went down into such a world. So we who are creating God's image are told that the tachlis of life is not to remain in a mountain somewhere aloof and different and with that concept of Kedusha, but the tachlis of life is to descend into the physical world and to try to bring some kedusha, to bring holiness davke into the simple daily routines. That's the tachlis. That's the tachlis of the world. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is infinite, descends into a finite world, so the human being who is infinite descends also into a finite world. And the finite world means with the diapers and the kids and mitzvah, should only be with simchas. There's also with the aggravation of a pranasa. Who needs all? What is this for? do you need this for? He says, what does it have to do with Avodas Hashem? So we see that the tachlis is not what he was talking about in Das Heiliger. The tachlis is in the world. Therefore, we see that the Avos, who were such holy people, we see that the Avos were involved in the world. And even Yitzhak Avinu, who's the most mysterious of all people that ever lived, even Yitzhak Avinu was a person that prospered in the world. Was a person that despite the certain separation that was between him and his wife, not because God forbid him anything personal, but because of his holiness, as Nitziv explains. From the first time she saw him, the way she fell down, and she put a veil on, and there was always a certain veil that separated them. But Afal Pichin, the Torah tells us, is Mitzach Gezista, that they lived a happy, normal life, Baruch Hashem. Avram Avinu, the way that he spoke to people, and the way that he took care of guests, okay, these are all things that are known to everybody from the office. The holiest people that ever lived. So the Torah is telling us is that the way that a person's table is, the way that a person's store of his business is, the way things happen in his personal life, all of these details of the physical world, physical thing, is a potential mizbeach, is a potential altar. Every single physical thing is a potential altar, a mizbeach for Hashem. What does that mean? It means that I want to do something. I would like to eat a certain food. But I can't. Every time I fulfill that I can't over the I want to, I'm sacrificing myself on the Mizbeach. No? Every time I want to do something, my Yetzer tells me to do something, and I hear that voice inside of me saying, tradition. So then when I hear that voice inside of me, except we don't give in at the end. We never give in, Chas v'Chalila. That whole story is Apikarsis Kidu. It was written by Shalom Aleichem. The whole story is Apikarsis, to show how it's about time that the Jewish people learn how to give in. And with the bid and pace, you can still give in, right? No. When a person inside of himself says, no, I'm not going to give in. And he wants so much to give in. He wants so much to give in. And he doesn't. That's mamash a korban. That's what the Mishori was talking about. That's what the Charedim was talking about. In Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. Ula korban akriv lo es nafshi hayichida. Ula korban akriv lo es nafshi. Nefesh means desire. Nefesh means to want something. It means to want. When we say akriv lo es nafshi, it means I want something, but what can I do? He doesn't want me to do it. And each time I go through that, I shecht myself on the mizbech. I shecht my own desires. I shecht my own interests. I'm a mishach. There's a guy, is a Baal Tshuva I'm talking to. Business. The guy has businesses. Three huge furniture businesses, in different cities. And they're open on Shabbos. So we're talking a lot lately. He says, I asked him how much of you know. I told him look at the books for a couple of months. No, don't do anything yet. See how things are going. So I'd like to know the percentage of how the percentages look with Shabbos. So came up, Shabbos is around 75-80% of his business. 70%. So I said, well, that's a lot. That's a lot of business. So he said to me, no, Rabbi, if you tell me it's wrong, it's wrong. He closed them down on Shabbos. It's a Havadik thing. It's wrong, it's wrong. That's all. It's wrong, it's wrong. That's a carbon. That's such a carbon. There's not a base of mitzvah that can hold korbanos like that. So that's when a person has to when a person has to sometimes sacrifice his personality, some of the deepest things inside of ourselves in order to be Jews. And you know that any time that you make a sacrifice, after the sacrifice, you feel best about being a Jew. You'd think everybody would say you feel bitter now. You're going to be upset because you had to give up something. Everybody knows that that's not true. It's dafka when you give up something that for the first time in your life you touch that part of you that's most Jewish. Because you brought a carbon to Hashem. You were a marker of yourself. The Lashon of Chazal at the beginning of Kedoshim, that Gedel Kedusha, Arayis, Kedoshim Tiyu, that especially when it comes to these things that have to do with men and women, that in those places where you see a fence in that area, when there's holiness in the area of these relationships between men and women, that dafka there you'll see that there's kedusha, where there's a gedel arayis. Because kedua, and Reb Tzadok explains, all the swarm explained that ever since Avodah Zarah was taken away, the most powerful yetzer we have now is this inyan. This inyan. So if a person's able to live in America in such a time, and to say no, so that's a carbon. So the karbonis that a Jew makes, the karbonis are not things that take him away from the world. Adrav, just the opposite. Holiness is determined by your day to day and moment to moment sacrifices that you make for the sake of Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what kedusha means. That's what kedusha means. So Ato Kadosh, Hashem, you are holy. B'shimcha Kadosh, and your name is holy. Hashem, you're above everything. You know, I'm empty compared to you. I mamish have nothing. I don't know what to do. Ato Kadosh, B'shimcha Kadosh. Nevertheless, afal pichein. Listen, afal pichein. Ukedoshim b'chol yom yahaluch hasela. Ukedoshim b'chol yom yahaluch hasela means I could call myself one of your kedoshim. I'm going to call my... it seems a little bit odd. Maybe I'm getting carried away with myself. I'm going to call myself one of the Kedoshim. HaKedoshim Asher Ba'aretz Hema. You know why I'm going to call myself a Kedosh? Because if you've taught us that the definition of Kedosh is not running away, if you've taught us that the fact that we have human needs, human desires, doesn't make us inhuman. It doesn't make us ugly. But you've told us to descend into the physical world in order to fix things and to live according to your will and to reveal your light in these things, I'm doing that to the best of my ability. I have some problems. I'm asking you for help. And that's what the middle of brachas, we're asking for help. But my overall purpose in life, my overall objective in life, is to make my table and my business and everything that I have into a mizbeach. So Mimela, Ukedoshim Bechal Yom Yaluchasel. Ukedoshim Bechal Yom Yaluchasel. We have the right to praise, we have the right to speak to you. We can, despite the distance and our shortcomings are the result of your will also. Not that our failures are your will, but the fact that we're physical beings stuck in a physical world. No, that's what you wanted. We're doing what we can in this place. Now that I've told you this, Hashem, I have a couple of requests to make. Take out your pen and paper, and here they come. Are you the one that grants wisdom, yeah? And you put me into such a world where I need bina to distinguish between one thing and the other. I need to be able to make a distinction, to understand what you put me to such a world. Because now I'm not asking you because sukumtsamir. It's coming to me. Because I feel overly cozy with you. That's not why I'm asking you. When we come to the middle of brachas, we're saying, look, now that we've established that we're kedoshim, what it means is that every little tiny thing in our lives is meaningful. I should be ashamed to ask you for such an unimportant thing as parnasa. I know it seems silly. after all, why would the master of the universe be so concerned about my business, whether I have this many customers or whether I was mitzliach this account or so on? The master of the world has more important things to tend to. And then I have that horrible feeling creeping up in me of my insignificance. But then you have to stop and say, no. Kedoshim b'chol yom meluch hasel. Kedoshim b'chol yom means not each day. Kedoshim b'chol yom means kedoshim every moment of the day. It's like imagine it's saying b'chol hayom meluch hasel. It's the same thing. It means every moment of my day, I'm searching for kedusha. I mean, meila, I need a parnasa, because my parnasa is no longer the meager, insignificant need of a flesh and blood creature. My parnasa is so that I could be a kaddish. Because in order for me to be a kaddish and to be able to come out from this day of work with a little bit of nachas for you, is if I could come out from here as a person that can afford to pay for the yeshiva, as a person who could afford to feed my family in a dignified way, that they should be healthy and strong Jews and happy, and should be able to help other Jews become stronger and happier and so on. So it's not just a selfish little thing that I'm asking for. Now that we're all signed up in this program, so we're in your program. We're the Kedoshim B'chol Yom Meluch Hasel. So we need certain conditions that are necessary in order for us to be Kedoshim. Kedusha doesn't mean for us. If we were asking for the things that we need to be Kedoshim in the Geisha sense, then what we would say is we need a mountain and a plank. A wooden plank. And go off to some mountain somewhere and lie on a wooden plank and meditate. But we're not, listen, you know Hashem, that's a lie. That's not what Kedusha means. Kedusha means with cholent and kugel. So we need, you know, it costs money. I always like to say what they say by the Chassidim. It says in the pasuk, "Es Hashem lokecha tira," and you shall fear Hashem. So the Chassidim say, "Es, eat." Aba Hashem lokecha tira, but be God fearing. Es, you can eat. It's not the pshat in the pasuk. You know, you see in the Torah an amazing thing. The Ishbosheth says, I don't know if I mentioned this to you. You see in the Torah that. See in a few weeks that after the sin of the spies of the Meraglim, everybody knows how the Jewish people were so dejected. The Mamish were out of it because we were told we're going to have to be in the desert for this. You know, it's terrible. Everything fell apart after the chet of the Meraglim of the spies. So then, after the story is finished, all of a sudden the Torah goes into two mitzvahs. It's interesting. What's two mitzvahs? The mitzvah of taking off challah from the dough, right when you're baking. And the mitzvah of nisach hayayin, of the wine that goes on the altar. So the Rebbe, Rav Matl Yosef from Mishbitzah, says, what does it have to do with the Meraglim? What does it have to do with the spies? So he says, Nabuch, when a Jew feels lots of brachin, give him a little bit of mezainas and a little bit to drink, to be mechayim a little bit. So after we're all lots of brachin, we're all so broken with the chet of Meraglim, so Hashem gave us a mitzvah of challah, which means, go, you know what, have a good piece of mezainas. You know, when you're in a bad mood, so have a piece of mezainis, have a challah, and a bissel brafman. You understand? Take a good drink. So the mitzvahs that come right after the sin of the Ragam, when we felt so lost and broken. First, before we talk about other things, such as that will remind you that I love you. Before we talk about those things, you know what? Here's a little bit cake, and a little bit to drink. The mechaya person. A person is a mechaya person. So the kedoshim need things in order to be able to live. In order to be able to serve you, we need these things. And we shouldn't fool ourselves. We shouldn't fool ourselves. Therefore, we have the right and we have the privilege to scream and to beg and to ask for things as small as they might seem. Every tiny little thing. I'm sure every tiny little thing. If it was a mice, I remember when something happened with Reb Nosson. I don't remember something happened like that. He got lost for 10 minutes. Or something he got went on the wrong road. So Rabbi Nachum told him because he didn't daven. He didn't daven. So how do you? We look at davening; it's only like an emergency thing. He says no. A person should be Rabbi Arla, in the Shomer Emunah, Rabbi Arla speaks all the time about how a person's lips must always be with tefillah. Stam, you should always be davening. Always be davening. When you're working and you're saying, it doesn't mean that people have to hear this. But a person should have tefillah skuras b'fiv. Really, it's a beautiful thing. Our ancestors were that way. They were in a continuous dialogue with Hashem. They were always davening. Doesn't mean that they were saying tehillim davke, but they were saying things, oh, Rabbi Shalom this, Rabbi Shalom that. There was a dialogue. If somebody does that now, they look like, you know, they look at you like you're crazy. That feeling of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu entitles you to speak in such a way. So the middle brachas, that's what's going on in the middle brachas. The middle brachas means now I could talk. Now I could ask, and I'm not afraid. Because it's not something which is for me. You also give Yochel benefit from this. If I'm going to serve you in the world, and you descended into this world, and you're asking me to descend into the world in order to bring things up, so I need certain supplies. And included is that we need Mashiach also. The Kabbalah Shoifa God Lachar Yaseinu, we also need. And then we come to the final brachas. The final brachas are called Ritzui. To appease, to thank, to acknowledge. It's a funny mixture of asking and thanking. Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu Ba'amcha Yisrael. What does it mean, Ritzei? To want. In the Beis HaMikdash, they used to say that, Ritzei. They used to say the Ritzei after they would sprinkle the blood by the Korban Tomid. They used to say, Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu Ba'amcha Yisrael. Hashem should want. Should be tzefriden, should be happy with and accept. Be accepting of the Jewish people. That's what it means. Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu Ba'amcha Yisrael B'svosim. Rav Soloveitchik points out that the source of this is really in the Chumash. By the Kohanim it says, Vayisa Arnes Yodav El Ha'om Vayivarachim Vayerim Yasaisis Achatas V'ha'ilu V'ashlamim V'yova Moshe V'yaron El Oil Moed. It says that Aaron lifted up his hands to bless the people after they made the korbanos, and Moshe and Aaron came to the Oel Moed Vayetzu V'yavarach L'sam V'yer Kaved Hashem El Kolam. Then afterwards they went into the Oel Moed and they came back out and they blessed all the people, and the glory of Hashem descended upon the nation. So there are two brachas here. First, Aaron lifts up his hands and gives a bracha to everyone. Then he goes back into the Oel Moed, comes out with Moshe Rabbeinu, and gives another bracha. So Rav Soloveitchik says that it says in the Taras Kahanim, Chazal say that the first bracha was the regular duchening of a kohen. That was the Berchus Kahanim. Vayisa Aaron is Yodav. When Aaron lifted up his hands, that's the Berchus Kahanim. That's Aaron blessing the people as a kohen. That's the first bracha. And the second bracha was what? Yehi Ratzon. Whenever we say those two magic words, Yehi Ratzon, may it be your will. May my will be your will. May your will be my will. Yehi Ratzon means that the second bracha was a tefillah that you should accept our avodah. The Birchus Kahanim was first, that's a regular thing, and then they went back and they came in after the whole day and all the avodah in the Mishkan, in the Kabbonis, so then Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon gave a bracha, and the bracha was a tefillah. The tefillah was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be makabel. Should be makabel the tefillahs of Klai Yisrael. So this is the end of davening. The end of davening, we no longer have korbanos, so we don't say ritzui after korbanos, but after we daven, which is takes the place of korbanos. So after we daven, so we're filled with a hope that Hashem is accepting this. Be'ahava b'ratzon. And it should be as if we brought the sacrifice. It's, in other words, Ritzei means that it should be counted HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if we brought the sacrifice. I want to read to you, and we'll have to, I think, end with this today. I want to read to you from Rabbeinu Yoina in the Shari Tshuva. Nishari Avoida. Rabbi Yonah says, he's talking about Avraham. Vahoya mispalo betachlis advarim. Avraham Avinu davened by the Akedah. When he brought Yitzchak for sacrifice and he wasn't allowed to bring it, he davened betachlis advarim as strongly as he could. Vakavana shlema with full intent. Vadveikas agmura with complete attachment to Hashem. Va'aymen, he said, Yehi ratzon milfanecha. Yehi ratzon milfanecha. May it be your will. May you see it fit and pleased. May you be pleased. She eschar b'shchita zeh ha'ayil ki'ilu shachatati b'ni lefanach lemes v'secha. Hashem, may my slaughtering of this isle, of this animal, be considered as if I mamish, please look at it as if I mamish brought my own child. Please count it as if, may it be your will that you should count this as my own child. V'chein b'sh, v'yadu lefanach ye, sleepy, you know my heart, you know my heart is revealed to you. I would shecht him. If you wouldn't have stopped me, I would have shecht him. You know I was going to shecht him. Then when it came on to sprinkling the blood of the animal, may you count it as if it were mamish the blood of my child. He brought the incense, please see the burning of the bones of this animal as if the bones of my child were being burnt. This is the key word. This ki'ilu, as if I did. When we say the final brachos of Shemoneh Esrei, the way to sum up that whole section of Shemoneh Esrei is with those words: Hashem, please count it as if I did, as if I did, because I'm not doing everything, but count it as if I did, because it means to you that I want. So count it as if I did, so that my tefillah should be pleasing to you. I don't have korbanos, but the korbanos of my life, of my everyday life, and the altars of the moments that I live through, they should be pleasing. Count it as if I mamish had to sacrifice my life. That time when I didn't eat that piece of food, count it as if I gave my life up. That time when I didn't look at the wrong thing or say the wrong thing, count it as if I mamish died for you. Count it as if. As if it should bring a reed sweet to Hashem. That Hakadosh Baruch Hu should feel good about me. So the end of Shemoneh Esrei is very optimistic. The end of Shemoneh Esrei is very optimistic because at the end, we daven for the Shechina and we daven for everything to be fixed. We thank Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Atayv Kiluch Al Racham Melech Ha Marachim Kli Samach HaZadecho. The end of Shemoneh Esrei takes a full circle back to Chesed and believing in Hashem's loving kindness. Having a moon in his total chesed, sim shalom, tayvu v'racha chayim chayin v'chesed v'rachamim. So after all these feelings of fear and these feelings of distance and all the terror and so on, and bittul, and the confusion of longings mixed with the other things and so on, so we finally see Hashem at the very end of Shemoneh Esrei once again as a father, who we can trust. The person who's tired from going through all this can say, Sim Shalom Toivu Baruch Chaim Chen V'Ches Rachman Leval Kol Yisrael Mecha Hamvarach Yisrael Yisrael B'Shalom. Shalom means I should have, there not only should be peace in the world, there should be peace inside myself. I should be at peace with Hashem and at peace with myself. I should feel that sense of menucha and closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and a confidence that Hashem did listen and He accepted my tefillos. You should walk away with an optimistic, confident feeling that it meant something, that it made a difference. It made a difference. It made a reishim in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, he wrote some shikal, but Rachman wrote some his tefillah saying. Ferlich and Lag Boim.